Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Detroit. This is National Detroit Weekly with Harold Sullivan and Michael Van Sewell. National Detroit Weekly features national, international news and political commentary. National Detroit is your connection to national and world affairs from the Motor City. Welcome to National Detroit. Harold, how are you?
Michael, I'm doing fine. In spite of everything, I am just holding on and just believing for the furtherance of what is truth and goodness, and we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this.
You know, Harold, you sound like your candidate lost.
My candidate did lose.
I mean, I could tell. Yeah. So did mine.
Yes.
Okay.
My candidate lost. My candidate lost. And, you know, it's not so much about the matter of, you know, what the margin of error or victory was, because according to all of polling, you know, the out polling now, Hillary Clinton actually won the popular vote. That doesn't amount to a hill to beans. She didn't get the 270. That's what really counts. You know, we were talking a little bit earlier off the air about the strategy that Donald Trump ran. He remained true to it through ever since the primary, the gate. I think that he controlled the narrative all the way to the end of this race, which was last night.
And we're going to be talking about it in more detail. We got some other things to talk about too. Pastor Shauna Taylor is here, and she's going to be talking with us too about her ministry and outreach, Beacon Outreach Mission. And so we'll be talking with her later on in the program. But she may chime in anytime during our discussion. And, of course, she's always welcome to do so. Before we get into our programs, I just want to alert you to our supporters here that keeps us on Blog Talk Radio. And that, of course, is our lead sponsor, attorney Cliff Pascoe from Pascoe Tashman Walker. It is a law firm committed to leadership, loyalty, and longevity. You know, Pascoe Tashman & Walker is a full-service law firm committed to providing the best possible legal services to meet your specific needs. They are experts in professional negligence and malpractice, personal injury, probate and estate planning, labor and employment law, personal matters like real estate transaction, estate planning, traffic citations and drunk driving, family law, business litigation, and civil rights. So I'm telling you right now, they are the pastor's choice. Pascoe Tashman & Walker specializes in serving pastors, churches, and congregations with excellence in legal representation. Here is the number so that you can call them first thing tomorrow morning, 248-353-7750. Deacon Moe is available at Avis Ford to put you into the best and brand new vehicle, Ford Motor Company vehicles that you can imagine. Call Deacon Moe at 248-226-2566. Again, 248-226-2566. It's so simple because you don't need a lot of information to get qualified to pick up this new car. So just take your paycheck stub, take your ID, and head over to see Deacon Moe at Avis Ford in Southfield. The number is 248-226-2566. I want to thank Hot Sam's for being my fashion consultant. They have, the tailoring is not only for men, but men and women. So they can, do alterations and tailor any outfit, men or women. But they've got their new fall selection over there, sweaters, ties, bow ties, suits, a selection of socks, whatever you need to get you in the right position to step your game up. Go to Hot Sam's 127 Monroe Street in downtown Detroit. They've been around since 1921. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. Free parking. They're open on Saturdays, too. So plan your trip downtown. Next time you're headed downtown, stop in at Hot Sam's, 127 Monroe Street, okay? Let them know you heard it right here on National Detroit Weekly. And American Standard Roofing, they have certified crews standing by to come out, get you your free estimate. Financing's available. They can work on gutters, skylights, sidings. They use the most durable and finest materials you can find. They are Michigan's number one roofer. They have a design center, too, in there to help you put it all together. So tell them, call Arnie and tell him you heard it on National Detroit Weekly with Harold Sullivan and Michael Van Tool, American Standard Roofing. Here's the phone number, 248-350-2323. And finally, Colony Realty and Columbus Construction, for all your home repair needs like flooring, security doors, painting, electrical work, plumbing, kitchen cabinets, 25 years of experience. Call Colony Realty and Columbus Construction, 313-247-7231. Harold Sullivan, the famous radio guy and blogger, what went wrong last night? I got about an hour's worth of sleep. What went wrong with the Hillary Clinton campaign, and why was everything such a big surprise?
It wasn't just last night, Michael. There were some things that began to fester early on in the game, particularly after the conventions. The one thing, and I can't take credit for this because I observed and heard someone else speak on this a little bit earlier today, and when I thought about it, I said it makes a lot of sense. Trump's theme, what was it? You recall what it is.
Make America Great Again.
Was it not the same theme that he began with and ran with all through Election Day?
Yeah, I heard it about 10,000 times.
But when you think about Hillary Clinton's theme, she probably had two or three that she used throughout the course
of
the campaign.
I think it was it Stronger Together or Together Stronger?
Stronger Together. And then, you know, I'm with her.
Oh, yeah.
So,
okay.
So, you know, you've got to be able to lock in on a key thing. And that's what Trump did. Another thing, that was number one. Number two, in my purview anyway, is the fact that coming out of the convention, Trump began to control the narrative and did so throughout the campaign. What do I mean by that? Trump, basically, everything, every move that he made, whether it was a stumble and fall, he was able to pick himself up, brush himself off, get back in the race, and start all over again, continuing to use the same thing. Also, you know, we talked about all of the gas, the thing that he said against women, the bankruptcies that the Trump fortune has endured down through the years, his failed business dealings, his lawsuit that was brought against the Trump apartments that selectively eliminated individuals of color who were seeking to rent properties, his association with the gentlemen in New York who were falsely accused of the rape of the jogger in Central Park. He was able to deflect all of those issues. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, was continuously on the defensive. She was rope-a-doping ever since, seemingly to me, since the end of the presidential primary and the convention. So those are some things that you really have to say that were key flubs on her side. Donald Trump, whether you like him or not, he really just kind of did a textbook analysis of why we call this thing political science. He had key people. He had smart people who were running the campaign. Don't know that I give Donald Trump all of the credit for, you know, all of the positives that he was able to elicit all of these 15 to 18 months that this campaign actually began in. But the fact of the matter is he was very shrewd. He had people that were positioning him in such a way that he was always able to deflect the negative story. Negative stories didn't hang around him for more than 2 or 3 days. When the email scandal came up again and was reborn, although in the latter days, that I think it was that Sunday right before the election, we learned that the FBI once again, Mr. James Comey, the FBI director, came out and deflected any wrongdoing on behalf of Hillary Clinton. But by that time, it was too late. Mm-hmm. Timing is everything. When that revelation came apparent, I believe it was on a Sunday, which is the worst news day for breaking story.
Right.
All right? But still, it did not gravitate to the point where it dragged Hillary Clinton out of the muck and the mire. And for her to not be able to deal with that trust issue is what really dragged her down.
Yes. I think that the campaign also underestimated the depth and the strength of his support. It was more extensive than we imagined. It wasn't just the basket of deplorables.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just poor, uneducated whites. It was a more inclusive group of whites that solid.
Mm-hmm.
And very vocal and active. You know, I thought it was just the vocal thousands that showed up at his campaign. But it represented even more. It was even more deeper than we thought.
Well, I think what happened, and to his advantage, some things occurred that allowed Trump to be able to make some inroads, even to those groups and demographics and ethnicities that he said deplorable things about in the early going.
I want to check and see if we have a caller on that, I thought we just did, but might have dropped off. But if you're listening to National Detroit Weekly, let me give you the phone number to call in, and that is 657-383-0565. Again, 657-383-0565. To join the conversation, we'll patch you right in. Another thing, Harold, that I noticed was the Clinton campaign did not show that Donald Trump had nothing in common with the poor, uneducated, or the working class that he was trying to appeal to. You know what I'm saying, Harold?
Oh, yeah.
You know, why wasn't there a campaign commercial ad showing Donald Trump's true lifestyle and standard of living and wealth? Because that would have shown some of the families of the coal miners in West Virginia that he really had nothing in common with them.
Well, the Clinton campaign chose to counterpunch with the evil things, if you want to call them that Trump had to say. Some of the things about women, some of the stances he took early on at some of his rallies where he used profanity and encouraged his campaign or his security staff to eject bodily those who were demonstrating at those events. They used clips of that really in the latter going. I mean, up to the last day. I saw one of those ads on yesterday, as a matter of fact. But they did not resound with respect to positioning Clinton as a super billionaire type who lives in the lap of luxury and is so far distanced from those individuals that he claims to have an interest in and will preside over, there was no connection there.
True.
So,
you know, I want to just get one of our callers to just chime in for a second. Caller, are you there? Maybe not. I just linked on, but go ahead, Harold.
Yeah. So you know, from that standpoint, but you know, on the other hand, I looked at some of the Trump ads, and the Trump ads were kind of honing in on the fact that you know Trump was saying, in so many words, I'm one of you. We have a commonality in the fact that we love this country. And as your president, I will preserve its principles and I will make things right. And another thing is, there was so much furor about the Affordable Care Act. And I believe that Trump did a masterful job of indicating that the first thing that he's going to do, his first order of business, would be to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. Because the Affordable Care Act came into some issues and troubles when pricing started to go up, and that was another moniker. You know, the Affordable Care Act is not affordable. And many people were beginning to see their premiums go up as much as 15%, 20%, 25%.
But well, remember, a lot of those changes were a result of the Republican
Nobody
efforts.
Makes that delineation. Nobody makes that correlation, Michael.
This
what
was
they,
not
you
the original
what,
Obamacare that Barack Obama rolled out years ago.
Well, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Reverend Shana knows.
And then they attack him. For it not being in its original form.
It was an obstructionist Congress that brought about what we have now, the finished product.
Yeah.
Okay? And it had to be watered down, and it had to be, you know, run through varying filters and what have you. And by the time that it became an act that was approved, the fact of the matter is it got to the point where it could not avoid some of the key principal selling points that people were locked in on. First of all, the affordability. That's what it was called, the Affordable Care Act. The Republicans were smart. What they did was they misdirected it, and they started calling it Obamacare. And then secondly, another ad that really, to me, in my humble opinion, was a grand slam home run for the Trump team, was you saw a clip of President Obama saying, standing right there at the podium, that you would be able to continue to see your select doctor. And as we move further and further into the Affordable Care Act and its machinations and all of the things that went about with respect to, you know, bringing it to the table and being a model, it wasn't what was promised. So people began to see that, and they made that correlation in those ads. When you drive those ads home, you know, people were looking and they were saying, hey, this has got to go. My health care costs are going up. I'm not seeing my primary physician. You know, business owners were looking at it from the standpoint as, oh, this is costing me a tremendous amount of money. As a business owner, can I afford to provide this type of health care coverage to my employees? So there were a lot of things. You talked about, you know, what went wrong. The shorter list is what went right.
Yeah. Well, now that we're here, here is my prediction for the first year of the Donald Trump presidency. There will be about 6 to 8 months before we see the first real big signs of trouble. I'm talking about possible violations of law, overstepping legal boundaries, and other peripheral issues related to conduct, because he does not operate within the white line, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to address the wall. He's going to have to address the Muslim ban. he's going to have to do this, start dismantling Obamacare. He's going to have to start appointing judges. He's going to have to respond to the next terrorist attack. He's going to have to make a decision on the next flashpoint for possible war. If there's some, there's some sort of a disagreement between us and someone else around the world.
Well, he doesn't need to have Rudy Giuliani as the Secretary of State.
No,
he's going to be making that.
No, because if he does not, right, if he does not make a, an attempt to do anything of those things that he's promised his alt-right base,
mm-hmm.
they will be with pitchforks camped around the White House waiting for him. And they will make him pay a price because his the pressure is on him. The pressure is on Donald Trump to produce for the alt-right
mm-hmm.
all the things he said. Because if you know what? I consider this situation, Harold, can get close to the French Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Donald Trump does not produce for his band, merry band of supporters,
mm-hmm.
they will be waiting out in front of the castle for him
to
come out.
I misspoke because I mentioned Rudy Giuliani as a person being considered for Secretary of State, and that is not accurate. Actually, it is Newt Gingrich, whose name is being bantied about in that discussion right
where?
Now. But I mean, these are some retreads. I don't know if Giuliani or Gingrich.
I'm gonna be sitting in the front row on my big screen,
popcorn butter,
55-inch screen in my man cave, waiting for all this stuff to start jumping off because you put him in there, you got him. And
mm-hmm.
and let me tell you, we ain't see this is gonna be a roller coaster ride. You think the roller coaster is Cedar Point? The roller coaster is right on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and we're gonna see a wild ride. Hold on to your britches, because it's coming. It's coming. This stuff, he promised too much stuff, and if he doesn't deliver, they're gonna have his head for it.
Well, here's the thing. You mentioned the wall. I think that he's going to use some level of diplomacy and coalition building.
What about his fan base?
Well, no, let me finish, though. Believe it or not, he was able to amass some surprisingly impressive numbers amongst the Latino vote. Now, I know the Latino vote covers a large swath of territory. I mean, you know, you've got Mexico and you've got
Puerto Rico
and, you know, some of the other areas where
Cuba,
you know, the Latino or Hispanic influence is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to, you know, build some respectable numbers in the vote count in those communities last night. So will he be able to build coalitions with those individuals to make nice and to even convince those individuals who are here already and capable of voting and part of the fabric of saying to those individuals, it would be in your best interest for you to work with me in terms of limiting the access of individuals crossing the Mexican border? How is it going to impact you? Is it going to cost you jobs? Is it going to cost you influence? Is it going to cost your children any encumbrances with respect to them being able to be immersed in this culture? So with that crack team of individuals who are thinking on their feet at all times, and he had a really, crack staff of individuals who were, you know, sticking and moving, that might be the tool, the olive branch that he extends. The wall may just disappear at some point in time, so he may not be held accountable for that.
Well, I think that there's a deep part of his base that's going to hold him, his feet to the fire. They're going to hold him to that.
Bubba and them will, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bubba and Billy Bob and all of those guys, yeah, they will. But to the extent that they're just happy at this point
that he's there,
their man won. And that, you know, they're going to have some of their issues addressed.
Even though their man you know, even though their man has about half a dozen mansions around the world
mm-hmm.
and owns dozens of towers and golf courses around the world, has multiple jets and vehicles at his disposal and jewelry and bank accounts. That's their man.
They showed some of the old clips of Robin Leach's lifestyle, the little rich and famous. And
that was good. You did that good.
It did not move the meter one iota. This was their guy.
Harold, was there anything that could have stopped Donald Trump? Anything?
The only thing I think that could have stopped Donald Trump was Hillary Clinton having more of a serious relationship within the African-American community. And here's something else that I heard today.
What about Joe Biden?
Joe Biden?
If Joe Biden ran instead of her.
I think we'd be talking about the president-elect Biden, I think, today.
What about Bernie Sanders?
I think Bernie Sanders would have ran probably as close a race as Hillary Clinton.
But Biden would have been President Biden today.
I think it'd be president-elect Biden today. That's, you know, but it's neither here nor there. We don't know for sure.
What were you going to say just now before
it'll come back. It slipped my mind.
Because I just remembered somebody had mentioned Biden to me earlier today, and I just wanted to see what your take was on it.
I think probably the only thing against Biden may have been the fact that, you know, with his age, and he was part of the establishment of 8 years with Obama, there could have been that type of backlash too. There's a possibility that individuals may have associated Biden with what people consider to be a failed Obama administration.
Last night, at what point did you
two-term Obama administration?
Oh, okay. Last night, at what point did you realize or accept the fact that it was over? For me, it was when we were waiting for Wisconsin, Michigan, and what was that? Arizona? I think it was three of them. Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard John King from CNN discussing this a path forward for Hillary to win.
Yeah, that's an indication right there. What is hurt? Because we were talking about Trump's path to victory.
Right. When he said, let's figure out a path forward for Hillary to win this, to win each state, that's when I realized that it was over. And I told my son, who was still up, he shouldn't have been because he had school today. I told him that when you wake up in the morning, Donald Trump will be our new president-elect, and that it was just a matter of time before the networks start making their projections that Donald Trump will be the new president.
Well, the time that I really became very, very concerned was shortly after I got off the phone with my sister Sharon, and I had to talk her off the window ledge. Because she was just that despondent.
Oh, there was a lot of people. Oh, and today, demoralized, crying. I mean, really, just taking everything so hard as though a family member had died.
Well, someone on my Facebook, one of my Facebook friends, really, I think, brought the point home. She said, "This is like a death."
I guess that's why people took it that way.
It was like someone died. Yeah. Hillary's hopes died for certain, but the dreams, the aspirations, the concerns of the people, who those of us who wanted to see the continuation of the Obama legacy, can continue on and go forward.
A lot of people issue.
Jump in, Pastor Taylor.
A lot of people issue was more so about SSI.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have it no more.
Yeah.
Here it is, people approaching, what, 65?
Yeah.
And they won't have it no more.
And you've contributed?
And you've contributed all the years.
Mm-hmm.
Then no 401k Care Act. What about our health insurance? Some people don't have a job.
Right.
Some people living off of Social Security. What are they going to do?
Well, that's a question for Billy Bob and Bubba.
You know, you have to keep your faith on God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's been telling us all these years, don't put your faith, your trust in man. Don't do that.
Because mm-hmm.
they'll fail you every time.
Right.
But if you keep your faith and trust on God, he is faithful to do what he said he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the time to become so, oh, my God, I can't believe this is going on, this is happening. No.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to have faith.
Yep.
And it's time to put your faith into action, because faith without works is dead.
It is. You know, I spent a lot of time in Allen Park today, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you know, I substitute teach.
Yes.
And I happen to be in that community. I won't say exactly where it was, but, you know, I got an opportunity to be in a setting where the people there look nothing at all like me. And the jubilation,
mm-hmm.
the veracity, the sheer joy of some of the white young men that I came in contact with, it was infectious. And I began to understand right at that point what their parents probably felt like 8 years ago when Barack Obama became the first black president. Well, I had to... You know, there's stages of grief. We talked about this is like a death. Well, there's stages of grief. You know, the disbelief, the coming to terms, and all those varying degrees. Well, I had to rush through those today, Pastor Taylor. I had to rush through those today in order for me to be able to continue to go forward and understand that. You know, where my help comes from.
Yes.
From that spiritual standpoint that you just mentioned a moment ago.
Yes.
Let me share with you this. And a teacher spoke to me today, and he asked, you know, how I felt about things. And he too was the person who was voting for Hillary.
Right.
And I shared with him, I said, you know, when I was born, I'm 62 years old.
Mm-hmm.
When I came onto the planet, Dwight Eisenhower was already president.
Right.
So I have lived through all of the presidents since that time,
wow.
up to the one that we have right now, Barack Obama.
Right.
And if God allows me to, on January the 20th of 2017,
right.
I'll see yet another president. But the focus is, Pastor Taylor, Michael, I'm still here.
Yes.
And the thing about it is we're resilient people. But one thing that we must do, we must become as scientific with our political understanding as politicians are, because we got played like a deck of cards.
Yeah.
We got played like a deck of cards. And all the millennials out there who thought it was cute to take a stand not to vote, all those individuals, if you step to me and you start complaining about Trump, first thing I'm going to ask you is, did you vote? If you tell me no, then I'm going to politely say to you, you have nothing to say to me. Okay?
Carol, before we go to a station break and then hear something from Pastor Taylor, Yahoo News is reporting today that there is a huge demand on the Internet for Michelle Obama to run for president in 2020, that the time will be prime time, ripe for Michelle Obama to run for president. What do you think?
If I were Michelle Obama,
she's such a nice lady.
She is, but I'd want to stay as far away from the White House as I could possibly get.
It's a dirty game, isn't it?
It's a dirty game, and I feel as though that the way that the Obama family was treated I can't wait to read the memoirs of President Obama going forward, because what this man had to endure over this 8-year period of time, how at some point in time that he didn't just fly off the handle and go completely buck wild is a mystery to me. And he probably had a punching bag at the house or over in the White House somewhere.
Yeah.
He was using to kind of, you know, throw off a lot of that tension. He had to have some kind of an outlet. Man came into office with totally black hair and is leaving with not just salt and pepper, but almost totally gray.
And the Republicans pledged on day one, as soon as he took the oath of office, that they were going to defeat anything that he put forward in Washington, D.C. So from day one, let me just say this too, because I know that it's going to be very difficult for me to watch the Obamas fly off in Air Force One helicopter when their time is over in Washington. What a sad moment that will be, and I think there's a lot of people that are going to be bracing for that moment to see them fly off and leave the White House lawn that morning.
Mm-hmm.
For all you tough guys out there, get ready. Because if you are a human being and if you recognize that they lived an exemplary lifestyle without scandal, without any hint of corruption in that White House and in Washington, it's going to be tough to see them leave town in December.
That's a hard thing to do with considering the microscope that we're under. You know, your life is a mirror. Everybody can, it's a window.
I shed tears when Wolf Blitzer chimed in back in 2008. We have projections on the first African American president in American history. I was crying that day. I can just imagine what's going to happen on their last day in office.
Yeah, I was watching TV and Wolf Blitzer. That was a really historic call.
I'll never forget that.
I got on the phone and I called my dad. That's one of the things. That's one of the last things that I can, you know, visibly remember that we shared as a milestone. And we had many, of course, during my years on here on Earth. But and he passed away in 2009. But I was so glad that he had an opportunity to see a black president be elected. Yeah, going forward and seeing them, you know, leaving and going off into into new vistas, that'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's going to, you know, hearken some heartfelt feelings and what have you, but I would imagine that it's also going to be a day of relief for the Obama family.
Oh yeah,
they'll probably have the best nights.
And
he
has aged, hasn't he? And watch Donald Trump age. Let me tell you, there's two things that are going to impact Donald Trump. And Pastor Taylor, did you want to jump in with something about the Obamas?
Well, not more so than Obama, but what I want to talk about is that we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful right now. And the reason why we have to be careful, because they already label us as being ignorant. And we have to be careful that if somebody comes up to you and call you a nigger, that you don't revert to violence, that you don't end up in jail, that you don't end up becoming another statistic. I want y'all to know that this is just a setup for martial law to take place, a setup for warfare to happen. We got to be on our P's and we got to be on our Q's, because the minute that black African Americans start fighting cops for their safety, the minute that they start fighting white people
or rioting,
what are you going to do?
Right, because I can tell you right now, there will be no problem for the National Guard to be called in or any other military force to come and quell any type of disturbance in any American city. So there will be no problem going forward. We already know what the president-elect said about crime and disturbances, that it's got to be met with more police force.
Mm-hmm.
So we know, we already know. So I agree, that's something we got to do. Pastor, when we come back from the station break, I do want you to share a few things about your ministry and Beacon Outreach mission. But I just want to once again thank you for listening to National Detroit Weekly. My name is Michael Van Su. I'm here with blogger Harold Sullivan. I want to thank Hot Sam's Downtown Detroit for taking care of all of my wardrobe alterations, accessories. They're trying to help me step my game up. So thanks to Hot Sam's Downtown Detroit on Monroe Street. Also, thank you to American Standard Roofing. American Standard Roofing is prepared to get your roof in place. They can do it before the snow comes. There's enough time. There's enough time. American Standard Roofing, call them. You heard it on National Detroit Weekly, 248-350-2323. At Ocean Financial, you can actually apply for a loan for operating capital, a line of credit, or cash flow. You can also get referrals to credit advisors, banks, investment firms, auto dealers, insurance companies, realtors, and residential lenders. If you need office space, you can call Ocean Financial Services. The number is 248-516-8300. Also, Attorney Cliff Pascal is ready and available to help you with all of your legal concerns. Call Attorney Cliff Pascal at Pascal Tashman and Walker. The number is 248-353-7750. Deacon Moe can put you in a brand new car. Look, he's at Avis Ford. It's open Saturdays. They've got the full service quick lane and body shop over at Avis Ford. It's an award winning dealership and one of the leading sales associates, a leasing associate, A, B, and Z plan specialist, certified sales associate, Deacon Moe. Call him. The number is 248-226-2566. And finally, Colony Realty and Columbus Construction for all of your home repairs, roofing, well, not just roofing, but remodeling, flooring, tiles, security doors, painting, electrical work, plumbing, kitchen cabinets, 25 years of experience. The number is 313-247-7231. Harold, I don't know if you had any other notes concerning the issue, the election last night.
And I recall now what I was about to say, that had slipped my mind momentarily. And I was also sharing with you because, you know, I don't want to sit here and spout things that I heard somewhere else and take it as my own personal revelation, and it's not the case. But earlier today I was listening to someone, and they were sharing with their audience how gays, Latinos, our Jewish population, and to some degree, even millennials have really begun to diversify who they are as individuals and really kind of putting their toe in the water and having a ripple effect. Now, what we've done for years and years and years, when I say we, I'm talking about black folk, we hang around the Democrat tree and we don't walk outside of the shade of that tree. But what people who are scientific and who know how the importance of being able to be in numerous locales at one time, they're diversifying their interest. And what they're capable of doing is when people are successful in their run, they can go and say, look, we had a sizable part in your victory. And as such, We want you to do this for us. Now, Hillary, during the latter stages of the campaign, she had Beyonce and Jay-Z and, you know, other stars. And this kind of really kind of plays down. You got to kind of understand the audience that you're gravitating and playing to. You know, doing the nay-nay, walking around with a bottle of Frank's hot sauce in your purse, and all those kind of things, you know, that might be okay in a closed setting, okay? But, you know, people are looking at that and they're saying to themselves, you know, look, Beyonce and Jay-Z, they're multimillionaires, okay? Some of the other people that they have associated themselves with, the guy who did the song Happy,
Pharrell,
you know, these guys, I mean, so what? They're voting for you? Who cares? What is the substance? Where's the meat? Where's the potatoes? We need to know that. You know, I don't need to, you know, the kowtow and to show me how cool you are with the black status quo or those who are a part of the celebrity culture. That doesn't impact me at all.
Yeah, I just want to encourage, if you're listening, you want to chime in, just go right ahead. Just let us know your name and just jump right in. You know, one thing I was just going to get ready to say, Harold, was Donald Trump will age significantly very soon. Just like Barack Obama, once you get your FBI briefing, the NSA briefing, the CIA briefing, the Defense Intelligence Agency briefing, the president-elect begins to take on a new aged look within days of taking office.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened to Barack Obama. It happened to George Bush. It happened to Ronald Reagan. I remember.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to all of them. And then Donald Trump's 70 now. He'll be 74 in 4 more years. He will age significantly. Look at what the White House and Washington and the position did to Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
It aged him significantly. So we're looking at, it's going to take a toll on Donald Trump from in January of next year, 2017, and for the next 4 years. It's going to be incredible. You're listening to National Detroit Weekly. We are a national news commentary specializing in politics. We issue a new program every Wednesday evening at 6:30. Pastor Shauna Taylor is here from Beacon Outreach Mission. Pastor Taylor, I just want you to just chime in a little bit and just say a little bit about your ministry and Beacon Outreach, and if you have a word for us, and especially for those who are disheartened. Harold, don't you think about the campaign and believe that it's hopeless and things like that, and maybe if you can just share a few words of encouragement, Pastor Taylor.
Well, good evening, people. It's sad what's going on right now, but I need you guys to be strong. I need you to have faith, and I need you to believe that God going to see you through. The Word of God says that He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you. So it's not time to give up. It's not time to throw in a towel, but it's time to stand up and come together and make a solution happen. Okay? That's what it's time for. So that's what we have to do. We got to stand up and do something different. We got to motivate each other. We got Outreach Mission. We're in Southfield, Michigan now. God is so good, amen. Our address is 24681 on Northwestern Highway on the fourth floor, the conference center. It is a sanctuary where you can give God the highest praise. You could be yourself and come as you are. So it's from 2 to 5 o'clock on Sunday. Someone's talking? Hello? So come and have a good time. Come and have a high time in the Lord. High time in. Hello? Come and have a high time in the Lord. And get excited because God is so good. He's faithful, wonderful, and merciful. The word that I'm going to give the people tonight is given to the strong delusion. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. We are indebted to Rudyard Kipling for the phrase, given to a strong delusion, boldly believing a lie. All forewarned that in the last days God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That's in Thessalonians 2:11. The softening terms of venom for sin tend to hide its hideousness. The fall of Adam was fall upward. Sin is a mistake, an error, an accident, an element in our spiritual education. Festering sores are covered with Satan's guilt as veil. And iniquity is garnished. We are unwilling to drag the serpent out and call it what it really is. We prefer to speak of that which is bitter as though it were sweet of evil as if it were good. But condemnation faces those who are so deluded. The same applies to those who call good evil, which is as fatal as calling evil good. The way of holiness is pictured as rough, thorny, and perilous, and therefore undesirable. Truthfully, obstructions are magnified. Duty is looked upon as irksome. Satan delights in picturing the Christian life as something broad, unwelcome, and undesirable. Good is called evil. Camouflage is necessary for soldiers to deceive their foes. But to those who know the word in their own hearts, sin is always sin. The same agree with Robert Browning that we still are saved, but truth calls a spade a spade. So guess what? We know that Donald Trump is a spade. And I'm going to turn it back over to Phil.
Thank you, Reverend Taylor. Thank you for those words of encouragement. Today is a very difficult day for many of us who are, you know, trying to get through this Wednesday, the day after the election. And if we don't take stock of where we are from a spiritual standpoint, you know, we're going to be in a position where we're likely to not learn anything from what has transpired, not only just since yesterday, but over the 18-month election cycle. Can you imagine how all of us have been drugged through the muck and the mire from the standpoint of when candidates begin to reveal that they're entertaining a run, and then when they announce their run, and then when we go into the primaries, and we you know, all of the caucuses that take place, we begin to hear all of the positions that the prospective candidates are formulating and putting together. We go from the springtime into the summer, when we begin to narrow down, people begin to fall by the wayside, and those who had aspirations to run for the highest office of the land decide for whatever reason that it may not be their time, or that they just don't have the money or the mechanism behind them to propel them through to the convention. And then we move through to the convention. All of these things are tiresome and weary, not only on the candidates themselves, but on the people, because we have to entertain all of the thought processes and, to some degree, rhetoric that individuals are espousing through the various mediums, and try to take stock into how is this going to impact me? How is this going to impact my family, my children, my career? You know, we were talking about Social Security just a moment ago.
Yeah.
That is something that has been bantied about as a possibly going the way of a dodo bird at some point in time. And you know, those of us who are at that age now, we're concerned.
Yeah.
And I'll admit that I'm there, so I have some concerns. But what I'm saying is, over that long extended period of time, and we reach the point of the day, there are those who are exuberant because their candidate won. And then there are those of us who are down because our candidate did not quite reach the mantle. But we gotta be able to understand that as a resilient a people as we are, think about our ancestors, our parents, all that they had to come through. We are people who are the lineage of individuals, Pastor Taylor, who lived an entire lifetime in slavery. Can you imagine? Can you imagine never living a free day in your life from birth to death, and if death was 60 years of age, and to never know a day of freedom? We come from that kind of stock. So we got to be mindful that we can get through this. We can get through this. I was joking about my sisters when I said I talked her off the ledge, but she was a bit down.
Oh, I took you serious on that. I really did.
But she was down. She was down. I looked on Facebook today, and I was talking to people, and when I woke up this morning, I still had hopes of when I went to sleep and I woke up that perhaps somehow, some way, she may have.
It was a dream.
It was a dream unfulfilled. A dream unfulfilled.
Yeah.
But
can you elaborate on what happened with the polls? What happened?
I heard in varying communities throughout the United States that some ballots that were actually Democratic ballots somehow or another went to the Trump side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as you know, yesterday Trump, he's masterful at changing the objectives of the narrative.
Yeah.
So he filed a lawsuit. This is even during the election day. I forgot what state it was in, but the judge threw it out because he wanted to recall ballots that had been submitted absentee. Okay, so we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when I said that he used the science. Okay, it's rigged. He changed the narrative because for years we as a people have been concerned about the fairness of the electoral process.
Exactly.
Again, I have to give him credit for using the science of politics to propel himself into the position that he finds himself in today.
True.
Yep.
Now, let me ask you this about the poll. Do you think, people, that we should go down to Lansing, do a petition, and see what they can do about this situation? If you have an answer, speak now. Dial in. Say something.
In our final 2 minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there were some. I don't know how widespread it was, but there were some issues at different polling centers. I don't think it was much different than previous years, but I that's just my own personal thought, but. I could be wrong. I just want to say congratulations to Kellyanne Ramsey for winning her Wayne County Circuit Court position.
Yay!
Yes, she was a friend to National Detroit Weekly, and we really find that heartwarming news to find that she won her position at Wayne County Circuit Court.
Michael, we may have someone call her 4549. Are you there? Can you hear me? Caller 4549. If you're there, just speak up in the last 30 seconds or so. Okay, perhaps not. Sorry about that, Michael.
Well, we want to, first of all, thank everybody for listening. We know our phone lines lit up. Like a Christmas tree hero, like they say, and you see the dialing. I see it here, so we really appreciate. We thank you for calling in and listening, and I hope you were able to catch part of the program. But but we thank you for tuning in to National Detroit Weekly. We issue a new program every Wednesday. Thank you so much on behalf of Harold Sullivan and myself and Pastor Taylor. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.